The Guardian.
Hi, I'm Emily Drabble. I'm the Guardian Children's Books site editor, and this is the Guardian Children's Books podcast. We have here Leigh Bardugo, author of the Grisha trilogy and Six of Crows duet, and she's being interviewed today by our teen site member Connie, whose site nickname is Wanderer378. And so, first of all, I think you're going to do a little reading for us.
Yes.
From your brand new book, Six of Crows, which is the first in a duology.
Yeah.
Correct?
I've been calling it a duet. For some reason, I don't like the word duology. It sounds like a face cream to me or
something. It's a strange word. Yeah. Thank you. Take it away.
All right.
Joost had two problems, the moon and his mustache. He was supposed to be making his rounds at the Hoad house, but for the last 15 minutes he'd been hovering around the southeast wall of the gardens, trying to think of something clever and romantic to say to Anya. If only Anya's eyes were blue like the sea or green like an emerald. Instead, her eyes were brown. Lovely, dreamy, melted chocolate brown? Rabbit fur brown? Just tell her she's got skin like moonlight, his friend Peter had said. Girls love that. A perfect solution. But the Ketterdam weather was not cooperating. There'd been no breeze off the harbor that day, and a gray milk fog had wreathed the city's canals and crooked alleys in damp. Even here among the mansions of the Geldstraat, the air hung thick with the smell of fish and bilge water, and smoke from the refineries on the city's outer islands had smeared the night sky in a briny haze. The full moon looked less like a jewel than a yellowy blister in need of lancing.
Thank you. Thrilling.
Thank you.
And now we'll have Connie's questions.
Start off with quite an easy one. How did you start writing? Did you do it for a passion, or did you have an inspiration that lit the spark?
Well, I mean, I always told stories. I was an only child, so I walked around talking to myself a lot. And I really started setting them to paper when I was around 12 or 13. That's when I started middle school. I don't know what if you guys call it that here, too.
Secondary school.
That was when we moved. My mom got remarried, I started a new school, and things were pretty rough. Things were rough at school, rough at home, and that's kind of all there was. And that was when I started reading science fiction and fantasy, and that's when I started writing it as well. And I always wanted to be a writer. The problem was I would write the first or second chapter of a story, and then I would get stuck. And I didn't have the discipline or really the tools to know how to carry on. So when I got the idea for Shadow and Bone, the first book in my first trilogy, I was excited about the idea, but at that point, I didn't really have a lot of faith in myself to write the book.
How old were you at that point?
35. Ancient.
In Six of Crows, you switch back into your character's past. You also do this in the Grisha trilogy, giving the readers a deeper look into the characters' lives. Which is your favourite tense to write in, or do you just like to mix it up a bit?
Well, I find if I get stuck in a book, you know, that sometimes changing tense or changing POV helps. But I don't have a favorite. Really, it's about what serves the story best. And to be frank, when I got into writing Six of Crows, all of those flashbacks started to feel pretty unwieldy. Writing a story with a prison break and a heist and multiple flashbacks and over five POVs was a steep challenge after the Grisha trilogy.
Yeah, definitely. I think that would be pretty hard.
It could not have been my first book. I didn't have the chops to write Six of Crows as my first novel.
Do you get any emotional attachments to your characters, or do you feel bad when you give them really terrible obstacles to face? Like in Six of Crows, when the dregs are ambushed by the rival gangs?
I don't feel bad about that, because that's what makes the story interesting. You know, like if I fell too deeply in love with my characters, they would just, you know, go shopping and have a nice snack, which would not make for a great, might make for like a pleasing coffee house AU, but is not really appropriate to a novel. I think for me, I like putting my characters in situations that test them, because that's the way I learn more about them, and it's the way that their own ideas about themselves get challenged. So And it's not that I don't regret doing terrible things to them. There are times that I have to write things about them that are difficult or painful. But at the end, it's really about serving the story.
In real life, is there any characters from any book series or your own which you wish would come to life?
Man, well, when I'm getting ready for a party, I really wish Jenya would come to life and fix my face and hair. So many book characters. Although I have to say, I think it'd be incredibly bizarre to have these characters walking the streets. Like, it's hard for me to imagine, like, Jamie Lannister in line at Starbucks, you know? What could possibly go wrong?
In your Six of Crows trilogy and Six of Crows, you have a magical Grisha. If you could be a Grisha from any order, which would you choose to be?
I think I would be a Heartrender. The Heartrenders in my book are kind of the assassin class of the Grisha. They can slow a man's pulse and send him into a coma, or they can restrict somebody's breathing, or they can burst all the cells in your heart. So I guess I'm a little bloodthirsty because that would be my choice. And I think it would be a great way to get out of boring conversations. You'd just be like, sleep.
From Six of Crows or the Grisha trilogy, is there any character that has similar traits to you or one you could imagine yourself as?
I think all of my characters have a little bit of me in them, even the really bad ones. And I think that's particularly true in Six of Crows. I think each of them has a little bit of maybe some of my flaws or some of the things I wished I saw more of in myself or less of in myself. I think of all the characters, Nina is probably the closest to me. She's spent her whole life being told she's too big, she's too loud, she eats too much, she talks too much. And I think that's me. But Nina is a lot more confident than I was when I was her age.
For any of the debut authors listening, or anyone considering to write a book, is there any advice on how to start or how to persevere with writing?
Yeah, I mean, what I always say is that, at least for me, and everybody is different, but for me, the problem was always I would get an idea, and it was kind of like when you go for a run, and like you go out and you're like, oh, I could run forever, this is amazing, and then about 30 seconds later, you're like, I am going to die. I sort of feel like that's what writing a book is like. You have this idea, and you build it up in your head, and you work up this tremendous amount of momentum, and that will carry you through, you know, a first chapter, maybe even 50 pages. But at some point, that idea is going to exhaust itself, usually at the end of the first act of the story, and then you really have to find out what the rest of the book is about. So my best advice to aspiring writers is to finish a draft. And for me, that was really about outlining. I like story structure. That's not right for everybody. I have many friends who hate structure and who hate all these ideas about second act breaks and turnarounds and dynamic characters. So you really have to find the process that works for you. For me, it was outlining and knowing where the story was going, even if that changed. But, you know, finish a draft, get rid of that critical voice in your head that says it's not good enough, because your first draft isn't going to be good enough. It's going to be terrible. Everybody's first draft is terrible. You can't outsmart it. And the books that you love, the books that you're passionate about, are not first drafts. They're not second drafts, they're not third drafts. So let yourself off the hook and write a messy, crazy first draft where you tell yourself the story. Have it be full of info dumps, have it be full of stereotypes and weird archetypes, and leave notes for yourself. I always write in my first draft, there's always notes like, how do they get from A to B, and insert awesome scene here. And that's okay, as long as you maintain that momentum so that you can step back and see the whole story on the page. The second thing I would say is read outside of your genre. If you love fantasy, great. Read lots of fantasy, but also read literary fiction, nonfiction, poetry, history. It will give you a broader range of language to draw from, and you'll also learn the way that story structure works across all across all stories. And the third thing I would say is, you know, there's no expiration date on your talent. And I say that both to young and old. I think we do this really cruel thing to kids where we say, you're so bright for your age, you're so smart for your age. When people tell you that, ignore for your age. You're bright, you're talented, you're powerful. Just keep going. And if you're older, it doesn't matter. There's no expiration date on your talent. If you have a story to tell, it doesn't matter if you're 18 or 28 or 88. People are always hungry for good stories. That was a really long answer.
That was great advice, though. In Six of Crows, there is a massive heist. If you had to plan a heist similar to Kaz's, what kind of features would you want in your team?
Well, I would just want to be the brains, okay? So any kind of physical risk or any kind of aptitude for being stealthy or climbing things, we would need somebody to do that because I am not going to do that. I'm also a terrible liar. I'm the kind of person who tries to lie and I turn like bright pink and like my heart starts pounding. So we need somebody who's really good with that. I would say I used to work in makeup and special effects, so I would bring my disguise skills to the team. So I think I could do that.
I think that would be pretty cool. Why do you think people are in the main fantasy genre and enjoy it so much?
You know, I think there's always this temptation to point to fantasy fans and say that they're escapist, you know, that they don't like the real world and so they need a fantasy world to escape to. And to a certain extent, I think that's true, but I think that's true of all readers across all genres. When we pick up a book, it doesn't really matter what it is, even if it's nonfiction, we're leaving our reality and we're joining the reality of the page. I think for me, fantasy is less escapist than it is expansive. It shows us worlds that are bigger and more exciting and more dangerous than our own. But I think there are lessons in there that we bring back with us from those worlds. And for me, growing up, I think particularly, I needed to see worlds where it was more important to be smart and prepared and brave than to be cute and cheerful. Because I was pretty bad at being cute and cheerful. And I think also, like, fantasy readers are the ones who never stop believing that there's more magic, that there's more to the world than meets the eye. You know, for us, we're always waiting for the letter from Hogwarts. We always think the call box is bigger on the inside. And I would never want to lose that. I think that that's actually a really spectacular way to look at the world.
Yeah, like you have endless hope for things.
Exactly. You're always ready for the mystery and you're always looking for it.
When you start thinking up a new fantasy series or you get new ideas, do you dream up the world first or do you get stories and start with the characters?
I think for me, everything begins with story. It really begins with the characters. And the world comes into being slowly and in pieces. I know some people, they plan everything out ahead. They draw the map, they invent the language. But for me, it really begins with the story and the characters. Writing Six of Crows was a little different. It's written in the same world as my first trilogy. You don't have to read the trilogy to read Six of Crows. You can just jump in with Six of Crows. But there was this country that I kept mentioning in the trilogy called Kirch. And in some ways, it was the direct opposite of the country where the first trilogy is set. The first trilogy is set in a country called Ravka that was inspired by Tsarist Russia. And it's very old world. It's a kind of a romantic fairy tale place that's very isolated from the rest of the world. It's very impoverished. It's failed to industrialize. Kirch was always in the background as the anti-Ravka. It was cosmopolitan, wealthy, full of people from around the world, this hub of international trade, and I always wanted to write a story there. So in some ways, that setting was just waiting for the people to come along and say, oh, I know what the action is going to be in this world.
We're talking about different worlds. Would you rather live in the world we live in now, in the modern day, or would you rather live in a fantasy world?
Well, if I could live in the world of Harry Potter, that is where I would live. Like, there are a lot of books I don't want to live in Westeros. I don't want to live on Arrakis. And I really don't want to live in Ketterdam because I don't think I would survive very long in any of those places. But if I could go to Hogwarts, and I guess now I'm of an age where I would teach there, I would be the kookiest professor they ever had. And that is saying a lot. But, you know, and could go to Flourish and Blotts and could, you know, go to Fortescue's for ice cream. Like, that is what I would be doing. That is definitely the world I would live in.
Okay. Thank you so much, Connie, for great questions.
Thank you, Connie. That was awesome.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, Leigh Bardugo, for gracing us with your presence today. It was fabulous.
Oh, I sound so fancy. You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.